The next form of ownership we run into is a thing called a partnership. And a partnership is formed when two or more persons join together to carry on a business. It's very basic. These persons may be individuals, corporations. Yes, you can have a partnership between corporations and other partnerships. There are two types of partnership. One is general, one is limited. In general partnerships, all partners are jointly and severally liable for all obligations of the partnership. A limited partnership must include at least one general partner who is liable for obligations without limit, and the limited partners are liable only to the extent of their investment and any other obligations they specifically assume. Later on in this program, you're going to find as we get into the area of financing, we'll be talking about a thing called limited partnerships and discussing how we use these in the purchase of businesses, and it works very well. A partnership does not pay any federal income tax. It computes its annual taxable income or loss and files a U.S. partnership information return of income. The partnership acts as a conduit, reporting items of ordinary income, loss, capital gain, investment interest, and investment tax credit to each partner. These items retain their tax character in the partner's hand and must be reported in the partner's tax return, where they're subject to the same treatment as though the partner had realized them directly. Okay. All elections for income tax purposes, with limited exceptions, are made by the partnership, and the partners are bound by these elections. Under some circumstances, a partnership may elect not to be treated as such for federal income tax purposes. This exception is available only in cases where income and deductions may be separately computed by each partner. Now, although it's not necessary to have a formal partnership agreement for tax purposes, it makes good business sense to have one. A sound agreement may actually prevent future disputes. And again, I've been involved in partnerships a number of times, and I just want to say basically that we say that partnerships basically don't work. Think about marriage. That's a partnership, and we have a lot of divorces today in the country. When you get back to another partnership, the biggest problem is you spend a lot of time building the partnership agreement on how you're going to put it together. And what we have found from a person-to-person standpoint, you don't have a good way out. And when problems do come up in a partnership, there's no way to split up the partnership, or it's not spelled out enough, or it's too restrictive. So we usually suggest, again, not from a legal standpoint, but from a practical standpoint, that you consider also the way out and spend a lot of time working on that also. The main problem you run into a partnership, and I hate to put it as basic as this, you're eventually going to get to the point with most of them where you end up accusing them of stealing more money from the company than you're stealing. I know that's very basic, but the thing I want to keep you in mind, it is much better in business, if you have a great friend, to let them go off and buy their business, you buy your business, and then meet every week or so and have lunch and be friends. Because in most partnerships, you're going to find great friendships turn into hate relationships. Now, partnerships have several advantages over corporations and startup. You have operating losses. Common new businesses may be deducted against the income of the partners. Funds may generally be withdrawn by the partners without adverse tax consequences. Partnerships are also extremely flexible from a tax planning standpoint and offer the opportunity to allocate certain items of income or deductions to specific partners where such an allocation has substantial economic effect. And again, we run into this quite often, especially in limited partnerships where we're bringing in people in our partnership where we are the general partners, and we're able then to structure the transaction to give our limited partnership not only cash flow, but maybe give them more of the tax benefits than we're getting. On the other hand, over the long term, partnerships may suffer from some disadvantages. Death or disability of a partner may terminate the partnership. In a general partnership, each partner is jointly and severally liable for the obligations. Partnership interests are usually not freely transferable. Partners like sole proprietors are not eligible for preferential treatment of certain fringe benefits available to people that own corporations. Of course, from a planning viewpoint, there is no reason a business could not begin in an incorporated, in other words, sole proprietorship or general limited partnership, and later incorporate when the time is right. Again, you should be talking to your attorney about this. The last basic general category is the use of a corporation. And a corporation, unlike a sole proprietorship or a partnership, is treated as a person under the law. Since incorporation is performed under applicable state law and requirements vary, legal assistance is essential. Again, don't go this Mickey Mouse route with these crazy books. Go to an attorney. Corporations, except so-called subchapter S described later, are separate taxpayers and must compute their taxable income or loss, file a tax return, and pay any tax due. Withdrawal of funds from the corporation by the shareholders are subject to income tax. A corporation may select a fiscal year and accounting method different from those of the shareholders. Its existence is not affected by the death or disability of any shareholder. Corporate stock is usually freely transferable. Stockholders can limit their liability to the amount of their investment in the stock. And offsetting these advantages is an array of federal and state taxes levied upon the corporation. Also to be considered is the potential double taxation of corporate earnings, first at the corporate level and second at the stockholder level when the earnings are paid out. And what they're basically saying here is what you're going to do is you're going to end up paying taxes in the corporation on the profit, and then on the remainder that you issue as dividends, the people receiving the dividends, the shareholders, are going to end up paying stock also. A significant exception is subchapter S. This is a corporation meeting the requirements of subchapter S of the Internal Revenue Code. And the basic thing we want to talk about here, it's the same form as the other forms of corporation, but what happens is you don't have to pay tax within the corporation, and the profits of the corporation actually funnel down through the corporation, and the individual shareholders then pay tax as if they were partners in this corporation. In other words, the tax is not does not go back to the corporation, it's funneled through. And you're going to have to talk to your attorney to talk about or to find out whether you want to use subchapter S. Years ago, we found we didn't use many subchapter S corporations because we had a feeling that these were used by people that went out to invest in Mickey Mouse things and weren't looking for a profit. But we have found recently, with the changes in the law that the government has given us, we have found that subchapter S is becoming increasingly important in our planning. And in the last couple of years, we've used subchapter S a lot more than we ever did in the past. So talk to your attorney about it and get advice. And although you're going to think that maybe you can go out and do some reading on this, I want to tell you something. The money that you spend on taxes with your CPA in this area, and also the money that you spend with your attorney, is going to be money well spent. And the reason for this is, again, over the years, I've thought of, let's go the cheap way. Let's not bring in a CPA. Let's not bring in an attorney. And I have found in the last few years, especially, I say, the last 15 or 20 in business, I found basically that for every dollar that I spend with the CPAs, and I have many of them I work with, I save 5 to 10 times that amount. And the key thing is, we're going to talk about this later, it really gets me in the area of taxation, because many of you are going to be tempted to go out and cheat on your taxes. You're going to Mickey Mouse your taxes. And I've had a chance to go back and look at a lot of the different businesses you buy or that you own. And the thing is, because you don't go to a CPA or get that professional tax advice, I find you Mickey Mousing and cheating to pick up another $20,000 or $30,000 in write-offs that are not legitimate. If you had just gone to a CPA, you probably would have picked up $70,000, $80,000, or $100,000 in legitimate write-offs. So why don't you spend the money on a legitimate way to go, which is a CPA? And on the other end, you're going to find that you can actually write off so much legitimately under our tax laws that you don't have to go out and Mickey Mouse and play games. The next area also has to do with an attorney, and I'm sure you're going to tell me, especially those of you from the Midwest and the Eastern or Western United States, that you don't need an attorney in a transaction. I want to tell you something. Business transactions are very complex. Business transactions, right in the beginning, that are handled properly by an attorney, are going to make your life a lot easier, and then as your family takes over, your great-grandkids take over the company later, you're going to find that you've set a good base in that company. Why? Because you did it properly. So don't try to go out and chintz in this area, because there's always ways to go out and get this help. And later in the tape program, we'll show you how these professionals will also provide financing for you. But we'll talk about that later.